So let's move on here and talk about the fact that not all of us working stiffs work for someone else. Plenty of people had ideas and gathered up the means to turn their ideas into a livelihood. We hear stories of entrepreneurs and often subsequent generations of them in our monthly business segment, The Ground Floor. This month, we visit once again with Ashland-based Noble Coffee Roasting in the person of its founder and owner, Jared Rennie. He had an idea for a good cup of coffee and a set of practices that would amplify the goodness well outside the bounds of the cup. He's our guest in this edition of The Ground Floor. Jared Rennie, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks very much for having me.
We were trying to figure out when it was the last time you were here, but before I was even full-time, so maybe 10 years ago or so. But
something, yeah, I'm thinking maybe somewhere around 2010, something like that. So
you've been busy, though, over that time.
We've been busy, mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been learning a lot and trying to, I think at that point, the coffee house had only been open for, 1 or 2 years, something like that, and we were just, I was a rookie, and I, knew a few things, but making a good cup of coffee and running a company are two very different things.
So what did you come to this from doing? You were a teacher, is that right?
Yeah, so I was a high school Spanish teacher for about 8 years, and previous to that, when I was in college here at SOU, I was a barista and a coffee roaster, and basically when I started teaching, I realized how much I just missed coffee. I really love the industry, and so I started kind of piddling around at home, home espresso machine, and then eventually home coffee roaster, and then that hobby just basically spiraled completely out of control, and really with the support of my wife, who, we had two small kids at the time, and she said, hey, let's just give it a go, and if it doesn't work, then we can do something else.
You got lucky, in that sense, didn't you? Because lot of people might say, okay, honey, really, this is a roaster that's bigger than we can handle in our own house.
That's right. And, there was plenty of coffee in town. So, what was I thinking? Why would, the way that we were going to do it be any different than anybody else? And thankfully, we did kind of find a way to do it that really worked for people.
So what did you do differently, or what was it that you set out to do that would set Noble Coffee Roasting apart from anybody else? Because you're right. You came into this at the time when Starbucks was still exploding, wasn't it?
Sure. I think it's funny because I actually wanted to start a coffee company as early as, 2000, something like that, and looked at the landscape and thought to myself, oh, man, this is saturated. There's no way. And it wasn't until about 2006 that we finally decided to do something about it. So I really think as long as you, for us, it was quality, just an absolute dedication to excellence in every decision that we made. And, I say responsibility, but it's really like kindness. So in every decision you make, making sure that you are doing wonderful things without doing any harm to anyone along the way. And in fact, not just not doing harm, but making things better for people. So great coffee without screwing the world up.
How hard is that in any business? So to not only to not say you don't want to, because you can probably look at certain things and go, well, not hurting them much. They'll recover from this. Can see where you could make some ethical choices that would have you going, yeah, well, I can live with this. But you went a little beyond that from the sounds of it.
Yeah, no, it's spot on what you're saying. There's temptation all along the way, right? So every decision that you're faced with, especially with a business, with the profit motive, can really take you to a funny place. You have to make a profit in order to exist. If that's all you're after, then you end up making some decisions that don't make the world a great place.
So what kinds of things? Let's talk about the first of all in the process of obtaining. Because it goes all the way back on your supply chain.
Sure.
So obtaining beans, roasting beans, making coffee. These are all the major components, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah. So everything from suppliers, like what kind of cups do you buy? That's an ethical decision. Where do you get your coffee? Who do you purchase your coffee through? Are they good people with good intentions? The producers themselves, the coffee producers, the farmers. So being able to travel to those farms, meet them face to face, see what they're doing, know that they're treating their farms well, the earth, right? And their employees, their families, and it's funny, you really get a sense. And I think there's something funny that happens where when the product is created, the raw product is created with good intentions, then the people who touch it all along the way are decent people. The likelihood of it being delicious is really improved.
Ah, oh, you really? So really, just by being good people, good practices, you actually get a delicious cup of coffee?
Sure, you're paying attention more, right? So like our roasters, we talk about, you know, it's not just, you're not just turning the coffee from green to brown, right? So raw coffee is green, the beans are. And you can actually just, you know, turn on the heat and eventually they'll be brown and then it's coffee. But if you really pay a lot of attention and you're really aware the whole time, you can take something that is pretty good and make it absolutely amazing. You know, I think a lot of people say this, a lot of coffee companies say these things that they focus on quality and they focus on responsibility. And then what we're really proud of is that we actually have these third party kind of, guarantors. So the Good Food Awards, which is a an awards program that does coffee, chocolate, a few other different things. We are the number one most award-winning roaster in the country through that program. So little Ashland Roaster here, you know, Food and Wine magazine just named us the best coffee in Oregon. So there's something about it, the way we're doing it, that it's not just us saying, you know, we're trying. It's other people, blind tasting our coffee and making those decisions too.
Jared Rennie is our guest in this month's edition of The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange, and he definitely got in on the ground floor in the coffee business with Noble Coffee Roasting. He's the founder and the owner of the company, which maintains a coffee house in downtown Ashland, but also has a lot more coffee for sale as well. You can join the conversation on the exchange by email only. Those emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So is there a big fat book somewhere with all the notes from all the ways you tried to roast coffee differently to make it better?
More than one. Yeah, more than one, actually. Sometimes I'll bring out. So every roast that we've ever done has been cataloged. So I used to do it. It's now done by computer. But when we first started, we did it by hand. And we have 12. I mean, at this point, we're like 50,000 roasts in, and every one of them has been cataloged. And then we can go back and look at what we were doing. We also taste every single roast we ever do. So we can cross-reference how it was roasted and how it tastes. And through that, we are able to make small improvements every week. I mean, we make small tweaks all the time. So I always tell people, if you like our coffee now, guaranteed in 6 months, it's going to be at least, you know, maybe it's only 2% better. But if it's 2% better every 6 months, over a few years, you end up having a really different product.
So there's no standing pat, but what kinds of variables then? I mean, what are the tweaks you would do that would make the coffee 2%, 5% better?
I wish our roasters were here to talk about this with you, because it's so crazy. A barometric pressure changes things, you know, outside temperature, everything. So seasonally, we have to make little changes, and the raw product changes. So we may have a coffee from Ethiopia that arrives, say it arrives in August, right? That coffee changes over time, the actual raw product, as it sits in our warehouse. So the way we roast it in August is going to be really different from the way that we roast it in November, because the coffee changes, because the weather changes, right? So we constantly have to be, you know, changing the way that we're approaching it.
Does the coffee change for the better with aging, for example, as do wine and beef, I guess?
No, it really doesn't. And so the part of that is also us making sure that we're working with really great producers who process the coffee well. That also means that the moisture within each bean is stable, and then that means that it will basically not age as quickly. So if you were to have a raw coffee bean and have it in a warehouse for, say, 2 years, that is not going to taste as great as it did, you know, after 2 months.
Say. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't age. It gets old.
It gets old. Yep. It definitely does. Yeah, unfortunately.
You mentioned wishing that the roasters were here, which begs the question, how involved are you still in the process? I mean, are you at the management level of removal, or do you get right in there and you want to know all the specs that day for that roast?
Great question. So at the beginning, did everything with a lot of help from a lot of other people. I could name, it would take me a while to name how many great people all along, Stephen Kelly Sachs and Caleb and Libby Peterson at the beginning and on and on. And now, really, starting a few years ago, I decided, hey, I'm not seeing my kids as much as I'd like to. I'm not seeing my wife as much as I like to. I need to get better at running a company instead of being a coffee roaster. So it was about creating systems that other people could step in and be a part of. And so now, frankly, my wife does operations. She's there a lot. She's there, but even...
What's her name?
Her name is Carolyn, and she basically runs the company. She runs the company. She doesn't basically run the company.
Yeah. She runs it.
We're getting to a point where our managers are really, that's not fair. Our managers are running the company and she's helping the managers do that. That's really it. And thankfully, we're able to spend a lot of time together, my wife and I. We go on a walk almost every day where we're able to talk about family stuff, but also we talk a lot about our business and how to make things better. But I'm really only there maybe an average of like a couple hours a day, and I'm able to stay home. I'm basically a house husband / CEO. So I take care of our boys. We have two great boys, and I'm able to do a lot of the things that I need to do for the business from home.
How old are the kids now?
They are 12 and 15.
Ah, okay. So key ages when they start to push away from you anyway.
That's right. I feel like, I need to take advantage right now.
Jared Rennie's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is this month's guest in our edition of The Ground Floor. He is the owner and founder of Noble Coffee Roasting based in Ashland. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Ask some questions of Jared by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Why Noble? Where did that name come from?
It's the first name of my grandfather, actually. His name was Noble Dukes, which growing up, he's just my grandpa. That's his name. And then I realized later on, like, wow, that's a pretty interesting name. And he was just a really fantastic guy, very inspirational person for me. So as we were looking for names, we went through, I don't even know how many dozens of names, and then finally came up with that one, and it really felt good. Plus, our logo is a lion, which is, coffee comes from Ethiopia, a big kind of icon in Ethiopia is the Lion of Judah. And so Noble along with that lion felt like it made sense.
So where is most of your business now? Is it in the packaged coffee sales? Is it in the coffee house in Ashland? Or
the majority of our revenue comes through the coffee house, about 60%, something like that. And we really love doing that because that's where we feel like we're really able to make people's lives fantastic. We can really make everybody's life a little bit better by them visiting us. And then a really large percentage of our business is also our wholesale. So this is us selling coffee to local businesses, mostly local. So we have some businesses, for example, in Eugene or Whole Foods in the Portland area, stuff like that. But a lot of it is the Wild Goose, Boulevard Coffee, the Ashland Food Co-op Deli, and a lot of other great businesses that support us. And then we're able to help them train their baristas. So we have a really nice partnership with a lot of different businesses in the area.
Do you talk to them about menu lines? We proudly serve Noble Coffee, that kind of thing?
To some extent, yeah, mm-hmm. To some extent. Although that's, we feel like what we want to do rather than kind of pushing our agenda is help them be successful, help them take care of their guests as best they can. And then it's just a win-win-win that way.
So there's no sense, I'm gathering, of this like holding all your secrets really close to the vest. It's like, you let people know the things they need to know to make your coffee as good as it is, if not better.
That's right. In fact, there are businesses in the area who used to be wholesale accounts of ours that now roast their own coffee. And they learned a lot by our partnership with us, which is great. And we're really happy to see them be successful. So, the things that I have learned and that we as a company have learned about coffee, we definitely don't feel like they're ours. They're out there in the ether and we just happen to have picked them up.
Do I remember you saying a couple of years ago that you actually were visiting with some of the people who grow your coffee
sure,
taking trips to see the places where it grows?
That's right. Yeah. So I've traveled. I was just in Ethiopia in December. I've traveled quite a bit. I've been lucky to do that. And, Brazil, Costa Rica, Mexico, everywhere, Bolivia, and And again, what's really nice about that, if every time I go, I feel like it's a little bit like, oh man, is this self-indulgent? Do I really need to be going? And then I go and I always learn something really profound that motivates me to come back and do an even better job of what we're doing here to support those really great producers that we work with.
We were talking about the ethics of the process, though, to make sure that what you're doing is ethical and all the people who supply you are ethical as well. Have you had any situations, though, where somebody wandered, where you had somebody said, well, you know, I know you're really big on permaculture, but I have to add X to my soil to make the coffee grow better?
Absolutely.
And he went, oh, that's outside the bounds of what we want.
That's right. So when I said earlier that we are, you know, one of the most award-winning, really the most award-winning coffee roaster in the country, we're also one of the only ones at that echelon of excellence. We're the only one that does all organic coffees. So everything that we ever have purchased is certified organic. That's really important to us. It's not just a feel-good kind of thing. It's actually a concrete, really big difference on the ground. So coffee is the number one most chemically laden crop in the world. It's conventional coffee. The way that it's grown with chemicals is really, really, really bad for everything, for the people, for all the ecosystem, and you know, potentially bad for us as consumers. So to go organic is really a departure from that. And it's really important to us. So there have been producers who have said, hey, I started using these chemicals, and then we have to say, gosh, we're really sorry. We wish you the best of luck, but this is a deal breaker for us.
So you've achieved a bunch of success already. And as you mentioned, other businesses have taken up some of the practices you've done. So you're kind of helping spawn other businesses that aren't owned by you. So what is the ambition for Noble Coffee? Where do you want to take Noble Coffee roasting where it hasn't been yet?
Great question. So and we get asked this all the time, what's next? What are you going to do next? And the answer is we're going to do whatever comes our way that allows us to continue to embody the values that we have. We're not going to say no to anything as long as it feels good. I think the model that we have created can really be scaled if we were to find partners who wanted to do it, who had the right reasons for doing it. And again, profit's good. We all want to make a profit, but if that's the only goal, then we're not interested. And so we've been approached by folks who had that as a goal, and we've decided to not take advantage of that, but we're open. And then a lot of the thing that a lot of my time recently has been developing a new product. So coffee is actually not a bean. It's actually a seed of a really delicious fruit. And anytime I've been to Origin, eating that fruit is a highlight. It's such a delicious fruit and nobody's doing anything with it. So we work with a co-op in Costa Rica that sent us this dried fruit, which a lot of people know as cáscara, which is means the husk, basically. So we've taken this dried fruit, we created a concentrate out of it, we added lemon juice and agave sweetener, then we carbonated it, and we call it Noble Tonic. It's delicious. It has a small amount of caffeine, so it's basically a natural energy drink. Mm-hmm. And coffee fruit is the most antioxidant-rich fruit that's been found. So it's a really, really healthy thing.
Okay, so you definitely have new directions to go here at Noble Coffee Roasting. Yeah, Jared Rennie, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's edition of The Ground Floor. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Catch us up on what's going on with the business.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time.